Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, Melissa and Barry got me this morning. So while I'm preaching this morning, I'm going to go ahead and eat in front of you. Is that okay? Is that all right? Is that okay? Yeah, yeah. You probably wouldn't like it anyway, but I'll just go ahead and eat it. I'm kidding. So, looks amazing. I'll have to say no to that sin right now and that temptation over here. I'll have to come over here. So, anyway, amen. Don't or think about Scotch Roos right now, anybody. All right. So, anyway. So, sorry about that. You know, I was excited to come to church this morning. How many about you? Said I was excited to come to church this morning. You know, amen. You know, before we get into it, before we let the kids go, I think it's interesting that, you know, when I was at Rhema or when I was at church, I was excited to go to class. Right? I would be in class with Brother Hagin, and there would be somebody next to me asleep, and I would just, you know, or it was just boggled my mind, right? That. Bless you, that people would take such, I mean, it was such an encouragement to see him up there talking about the Word and the Spirit together, right? Because we need the Word, but we also need the Spirit together and hungry for the things of the Holy Ghost. And one of the concerns Brother Hagin had was before he went to be with the Lord was the two things we talked about. We're going to move on this week to some other things, but John chapter 14, 15, and 16 are very paramount because, and the reason why I hung on those for a couple weeks is because that's the main anthem that Jesus preached before he left the earth, right? It was love and it was the Holy Spirit, those two things. And he is the Word. And anyway, this morning when I got up, you know, it's getting three little people fed, get some breakfast down them. Encouraging them to eat, encouraging them and motivating them to get their clothes on this morning and motivating them to, right? But then I filled my truck up and I washed my truck this morning before I came to church and I'm fellowshiping with the Lord and everything, right? It's a big deal. Not because I'm here, I have anything special to say, I don't, but because who I represent, who we represent is amazing and he's exciting. And it's just, it's life-changing, right? So the Word should stir something up in us. You know, we get here, I just remember being in church services before, and no matter who was preaching or anything else, I was excited to hear the Word. I was excited to hear about the things of God. And so anyway, we're going to talk about the six enemies to faith, and why is faith important? We'll let the little people go this morning. I think this is they go, right? Oh, not the first of the month. Six enemies to faith, and you know, one of the things, and it's just every time the church door is open, any time that you can hear the Word, go. And people that will say things like, "Well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need these things. You know, it doesn't really affect me. Does it do anything else?" Well, after church, I'm going to go stand over here by the front door, and everybody walks out the door, I'm going to say, "You look the same. You look the same. You look the same. You look the same." Right? No, you don't go to the gym and expect transformation in one day, do you? It's a process. The Bible talks about the Greek word that it uses, metamorphosis, right? It's from, and don't get me started on bugs, because yesterday at my house, we did a bug. We did a bug project, and so I'm kind of all bugged out right now, okay? And take that, however many puns and whatever. But we had to set up these bugs and do all this other stuff and help the girls out. Well, anyway, it's a transformation, isn't it? It's a process. It's something that happens over time. It doesn't happen all at one time, right? And so, you know, it's something that while I'm talking, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Or 2 Corinthians 5:17. And, you know, many people will say things, for example, I've heard people saying, going like, "Well, I'm just going to fight the devil." Well, you'll never beat him. Why would you want to go fight with the devil, right? Why would you want to go? You're never going to win. But, and you think, "Well, what are you talking about? That? Why do you say that?" Jesus already defeated the devil. And if we're going to have understand faith, too many people are going to try to approach this in their own flesh, or I'm going to defeat the devil, or I'm going to do these things. You know, one of the churches years ago that we were in, you know, it's we would pray and be like, louder, pray. You know, I mean, I understand it's you pray louder to get yourself motivated, or, you know, sometimes you'll do those things. But no matter how loud we pray, it doesn't mean the devil is going to run any faster, right? It's those faith-filled prayers or connecting with the Holy Spirit that's going to be effective. And that's important. You know, and the only fight that we're going to fight is the fight of faith. You know, and I've heard other people talking about, well, I'm going to fight sin, I'm going to do everything else. You can't defeat sin. Jesus paid the price. He defeated sin for us. So faith is what? Relying on Jesus, who's already paid the price. We get into the flesh when we try to do things ourselves or rely on the arm of the flesh, right? Our ability to do things. I can do it. Well, why do we need Jesus then? The first enemy of faith is what? Failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Number one, failing to understand that we are a new creature in Christ and what that means. The first scripture we look at there is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, what? Be in Christ. It's important to be in Christ. We got to be in Christ. And it says here, he is a new creature. I'll tell you what, the kind of stuff that some of these denominational churches, we're around all these people all the time. And the thing of it is, they keep saying things like, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. Man, I'll tell you what, take a 12-gauge and shoot that old dog. Get rid of that thing, right? I am not an old dirty sinner saved by grace. Yes, I am. I was a sinner and I am now saved by grace. I am a new creature. I'm not some old mattress that's been, you know, redone, or, you know, we'll just throw some, you know, Doug, he's a car guy over here too, and we're just going to throw some Bondo in it, and we're going to try to make it patch it up, make it look good. No, I need a piece of new steel in there. I need new. I don't need something refurbished. I need to be brand new. So if we're continually focusing on we're a sinner saved by grace, and we're just, and it is true, we were a sinner, but I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am brand new on the inside. So if we don't have the revelation that we're a brand new creature on the inside, like the Bible tells us, like the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians there, then we're not going to have any confidence running towards the enemy, right? We're just going to be, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I can't overcome sin. I can't overcome these things. I can't overcome, you know. Wait a minute here. That's not what the Bible says at all. So again, the first one is failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ, right? Lack of understanding is going to absolutely wreck our faith life in this. Many people don't even realize that they're actually new creatures, you know? Molly was just at, you know, it was Molly, one of the girls was saying, you know, talking about how she was telling one of the other kids at school that she hasn't been sick for, like, hasn't, you know, been like 2 or 3 years. She goes, I don't remember the last time. And they said, well, you just don't remember. What? Why do we have to expect to be sick? It's flu season, like it's deer season or turkey season, you know? It's like, well, I'm going to go down and get my flu tag down at Walmart. I got my fishing license and I got my hunting license. I'm just going to get my flu license now because it's flu season. Are you kidding me? No, I'm a new creature, right? So anything that is connected to the new creature, which is the inside of us, which is the born-again spirit, man, which is brand new in Christ, we just read there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, can be healed, right? But if I'm an old sinner saved by grace, so that means I got to go to get on my hands and knees and beg Jesus for things, and, oh, Lord, please help me. Oh, don't forget me in glory. I'm just going to be, Jesus will be standing in the shadows of the other end. I'm going to be in an old cabin in glory. All those old songs, you know, they're so full of just unbelief and everything else too, you know. Remember those, you've ever been in denominational churches, you sing those old hymns, you know, and it'll be better ground in glory, you know. It's always better. I mean, I get it. You know, when we're standing face to face with Jesus, of course it's going to be better than here. But I'm not going to be any more saved then than I am right now. If I'm a new creature, I'm a new creature right now as I am later with Jesus, with a glorified body, right? The only thing is I don't have a glorified body. And man, I could use one right now. How about you? I'm like, yeah. So one of the things that's really going to hurt us is not having a revelation we're a new creature, right? We've got the God power, the Zoe kind of life living in us. And that's something that I'm endeavoring to have more revelation on, right? And so, you know, many people, we're, you know, we just think that we're old sinners saved by grace. No, we're not just forgiven sinners. We're not just, I like how Brother Hagin used to say, we're not just by hanging out on Grumble Alley or just Get Along Street or just anything else. No, we're new creatures. We don't have to live like that anymore. And so we're new creatures. We're created by God in Christ Jesus with the very life and the nature of God in our spirits. We are children and sons of God, right? We read last week in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, and we see that Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore, but what? Friends. Friends. And Jesus also later on, you know, calls us sons and daughters. So we are now, there is something that there's an exchange, that covenant that we accept when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, where there is now an exchange. What is that exchange? What is covenant? Anytime that when you get married, you have a covenant with someone. What it means is your strengths can now cover my weaknesses, and my strengths can cover your weaknesses, right? Because there are some things that Adrian has strengths that I just don't have, and vice versa, right? And so, and whatever is mine is hers, and whatever hers is hers, right? I'm kidding. So, but what it means is we have that exchange, right? And that's covenant. And we become a new creature. That means the God Zoe life now becomes and resides on the inside of us and is there whether we, you know, want to acknowledge it or not. You know, it's amazing how, what is faith? Why is it important to have faith? We have faith you have belief system right now because you're sitting in a chair. This is going to hold you up. You didn't have a belief system or that we have gravity. Some scientists don't believe that it's from underground pulling. It's a force pushing us down, whatever it is. But there's some kind of gravitational force that's holding us down, right? You know, this morning you get in your car, or, you know, I don't know what it is, keys now or key fobs or, I don't know, the start buttons or however it is, you know, smartphone. I don't know how you start your car nowadays. But the point is when you get in it, you believe that car is going to start. Well, if you didn't have a car, you'd be getting ready to go to the bus station. Or you'd be firing up your bicycle, right? Or you'd be calling your friend to give you a ride at some point, right? Because you have faith in that system. So we deal with faith or at least a belief system all the time. We have confidence in something. And so we just need to expand that confidence more into the Lord and understanding what He has for us and His, and again, we're new creatures in Christ. Number two, the second enemy is failure to understand our place in Christ. You know, Brother Hagin is big on this, and he is my daddy in the faith, and I just, there's something about when Brother Hagin talks, or Pastor Hagin, or, you know, some of my pastors in the faith in the past, there's just something about when they start speaking, there's just those generals in your life that you just, Mark Barkley's one of those too, and Lester Summerall, and I think there's some of the new ministers here have some great things to say. But, man, when those guys speak, there's just something inside of me that stirs. One of the great things he says is it's about 140 scriptures in the New Testament that talk about in him. And those things will change your life. They will. And I was meditating on some of them last night. And I'll tell you what, it just gives you that confidence to run to him. It's I'm in him. I'm not trying to get something from him. I'm not begging him to do anything, right? It's just we're there in him. And so number two, again, failure to understand our place in Christ. Again, how many people that it is so discouraging that people don't have the revelation of in him. It's a separation. We still have this Old Testament mentality that we're going to the temple. We're going to the temple, and there's still the veil there separating us from the Holy of Holies, right? That thing is gone. When Jesus died, he rose from the dead. Well, right when he died, there was an earthquake, and at that point, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. And we can run into that. Jesus said there, we just read it last week, John chapter 14. Now, he abides in us. He said, me and the Father will come and what have our abode, which means our home in you. God isn't messing around here. He's not like, I'm going to be here, I'm going to hold your hand. He's like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to live in you. I'm in there right now. Oh, God, help me, where are you? Hello, I'm inside. Hello, McFly. Right? What are we running all over for? And the amazing thing is, here's the thing. The just so powerful what we were just seeing right here on the screen earlier of the faith challenge is the Word and the Spirit together. The Word will ignite the Spirit. It will trigger the spirit realm. The Word will. It's like gas and fire, right? It's like that ignition and gas. The Word is the spark with the Spirit that will ignite things. Chew on that for a little while. I remember Brother Hagin talking about this woman. this story one time, he was on the road. He pastored, Brother Hagin was pastor for 12 years, and then after that, he went on the road and traveled and, you know, had all these experiences, and I mean, just amazing. You ever listen to Brother Hagin, all those stories. It was kind of interesting. When I was at Rhema, they took a poll for the teenagers, who they'd really listen to. Was it, you know, Brother Hagin? Was it Pastor Hagin? Was it the youth people or whatever? And hands down, everybody said Brother Hagin. I mean, come on, when you listen to Brother Hagin and those stories, you're like, did that really happen? You know, you're like, did that really, you know? So, I mean, the stories he has are just amazing. But anyway, he went to at this one church and he was on the road, and the pastor said that this one lady was very well educated. She had a seminary degree, and she was the best, ministry of helps leader that they had. And she was just amazing. Well, anyway, she took a hold of these in him realities, is what we call them, in him realities. So she meditated on about 140 scriptures talking in the New Testament about in him and everything else. Well, by the end of the revival or the meeting, she came to Brother Hagin and she says, I just can't believe it. I just feel like a different person. Like, I cannot believe I was thinking that way, right? And it is that meditation on the in him. Having that revelation of him being in us, his power being in us. I mean, we are the apple of his eye, right? And the devil and the flesh and the world will continue to say, God doesn't love you. He's not for you. You're a little orphan Annie over here, and you just can't do anything. And it's kind of like one minister said, Mark Hankins, faith will cause a tadpole to smack a whale, right? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem logical. I don't understand things, right? In our finite little fleshly mind, we're always thinking about, well, I got to pay this bill, and this number's got to add up, and everything else too. And I'm into numbers all day, okay? I get it, right? Always watching the markets and the world and everything else that's going on, right? This thing could cause this effect. But let me just tell you something. When God shows up on the scene, that stuff doesn't matter anymore, right? There is often no logic to it. You know, God wants it to be like that too, because then you have to trust in him. Because if you got it all figured out. Let me just say this. I never figured I'd be here. You asked me 25 years ago if I'd be doing here and doing this stuff. I'd say, you're crazy. How many of you ever thought you're going to be where you're at right now in life? The high school counselor, he he suggested some plans for me and everything else too. But again, we just don't know. God always likes to take us in different directions because he's always got bigger, better things for us. So number two, failure to understand our place in Christ. Number three, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. This goes along with what we were talking about earlier, but like many Christians, this woman who, go back to that really quick before we move on to number three, the woman who was at the church, who began to meditate on in him realities, she didn't have an understanding of what Christ was in her life. This hindered her faith, but she had a worry habit. I'm pretty sure maybe there's some people here that have some worry habits, or you've had some worry habits, right? When you begin to understand and have the revelation of who it is in you, kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Number three, failure to understand righteousness. This is enormous. This is something where it's absolutely woke me up to my faith and righteousness. Let's just read the scripture here really quick. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us. Who are they talking about? Jesus, right? Jesus was made sin for us. You know, people are always, you know, all the time saying, well, you know, Jesus didn't sin. No, he became sin for us. What's that mean? My sin and your sin, God put it on him on the cross. Jesus didn't sin, but he became sin for us. Then it goes on and it says here, who knew no sin? So Jesus became sin for us. He didn't know sin. He didn't commit any sin. That we might be made right, the righteousness of God in him. So here's what happened. That sin, you and I, our mistakes, our sin, our disobedience, our lawlessness, everything that we committed on this earth and everybody else too, was put on Jesus. He didn't commit sin. He didn't know sin, which means he didn't commit it. But through that act, we became, it says here, righteous, made us righteousness of God in him. Righteousness is simply a position that we have, right? It's a position that we have. You know, our kids are born to us and there's nothing they can do anything different, right? They're born to us. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of shrink, what kind of psychiatrist, what kind of anything else, who they talk to, whatever. I'm still their daddy. Adrian's still their mama. Nothing's going to change that, right? When we're born again, God's our daddy. We're positioned in the family. Nothing's going to change that, right? Righteousness. We're positioned there. And if we don't have a revelation of that, our position with him, it's be very difficult to receive from him. Because what do we do? And now we go back to begging. Now, instead of becoming sons and daughters and friends, now we become beggars. And that's what a lot of the church is today. We're all just begging. Oh, I hope I get something. I hope this. I hope that. Wait a minute. This is my dad. He lives in me. You know, Jesus said that him and the Father, they make their home in me. Now I am positioned with him. Let's just go back to Abraham for a minute, all right? Abraham here was, the guy lied. He did things that were not great. But the Bible says that he was what? Counted righteous. What that means is that God positioned him, chose to position him and say, Abraham, you are now, I now consider you righteous or in right standing with me. Wasn't even born again yet, right? But the cool thing is, God put it on his MasterCard, his charge card, right? His credit card, and he was going to pay it off at the cross. So all those people in the Old Testament received salvation because God put it on a charge card. And then he paid it off in full at the cross. So righteousness is a position that we have with him, right? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1:7, right? When we're born again, our sins are remitted. They're cast out. We're done because of the past life stopped existing. So as if it didn't even exist. Many people will sit there and they'll talk about different things. When they have experiences with Jesus, they'll say things, well, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. He goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. God has forgotten all of our past, right? I was watching a show one time, and the guy was talking about you know, the Lord asked him. You know, anytime the Lord asks you something, you know, these people have these experiences, and the Lord says, do you want to do this? You just say yes, right? You're going to go, I don't think so, Jesus, today. No, you're always going to be, yeah. And so this guy was saying that the Lord wanted to reveal to him, he says, I want to show you what you look like to me, right? And he, in the spirit realm, the way I see you. Anyway, the Lord showed him, and he looked down, and he was just like, he had this armor, it was completely gold, and I was shining, like it was just beautiful. And it's amazing how God sees us a certain way. It's righteousness. When we're born again, when we're with him, we've accepted and made him Lord of our life. At that point, now we are in. That's why Jesus refers to so many times, like in the book of Ephesians and other things, and Paul's writings refer to a marriage, our relationship with Jesus, the body, right? Ephesians, the first chapter, he talks about Jesus is the head, and we're the body, right? Because we're connected. You know, Jesus doesn't look at us and say, oh, there's Adrian. Oh, there's Amy. That's Carol. No, yes, we are all individuals, but the point is we're all one. And that's why, you know, when Saul, before he became Paul, was on the road to Damascus, and, you know, the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? Well, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus personally, was he? No, but Jesus took it personal because Saul was attacking his people, right? His body. So anything, if you think about it this way, anything that the devil does to you or attacks you, Jesus takes it personal because you're his body. I'm his body. And we're all just, again, a lot of the church, we just think we're just begging God for things and we're just old, you know, everything's awful terrible and you know, we just don't have any victory at all. Righteousness. It's a position that we have with him. And then also, too, you might think, well, what about Pastor Brand if I sin? Okay, well, I'm born again and I sin or make a mistake. 1 John 1:9, right? 1 John 1:9. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we're born again, we are embedded, into the body of Christ. We are his. We are positioned with him, right? When the Apostle Paul says that we are seated at the right hand of the Father with him, Jesus. So we're seated at the right hand of the Father. That means, again, when God the Father looks over to Jesus, he sees us. There is no separation there. And the devil wants us to see a great big daylight between us and Jesus, but there is none. Can I say that again? There is no daylight between me and Jesus, right? There is no separation between me and Jesus. I joke about it before, but I see things. You want to see something supernatural? Here we go. He's in me. Kind of a joke, we laugh about it at Rhema, but the point is that the devil wants to put as much daylight between you and Jesus as possible. And when we meditate on those in him scriptures, and we meditate on righteousness, and we meditate that he's in us, and we meditate on those things that Jesus is closer to us than a brother, and all these, I mean, he is living in us, he is walking around, he and God the Father, they live in us. I don't understand how that happens, right? I don't understand all the semantics. It doesn't matter. But my point is that when we decrease or eliminate any daylight between us and Jesus, that's when the devil gets scared. And that's when things can turn around for you. So when we ask, you know, when the believer who has sinned confesses sins, they ask for forgiveness. So two things happen. Number one, we get forgiven. Number two, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, like the scripture says. we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. And the devil wants to lie to us and say that, we're not worthy anymore. Number four, failure to understand our right. This is very important, to use the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You know, one time I was, this is just how powerful the name of Jesus is. Gary Crowell, he's come here before, and he was the dean of Rhema, and great guy. I mean, we always laugh because he's like, hey, I've done everything and gone everywhere, and I've, you know, been everywhere kind of guy, you know. And anyway, he used to pastor a church in Mount Pleasant, which is, you know, south of where we used to live. And he and Connie, which is his wife, were on the road one time, gravel road. And they were on a back road there. And they were driving down the highway there. And, it wasn't a very well lit road at all. And you get on some of those gravel roads, and some of those roads is just when it gets dark, right? And so they're going along, and he's driving along. All of a sudden, there's a big black Angus bull in the road, right? And it's dark, and it's nighttime, and there's no street lights all over the place. And he's standing sideways. So can you imagine a big old black Angus bull standing out in the road there, right? He said, there was no, Lord, I bequeath thee. There was no eloquent prayer. It was just Jesus. And he said, that bull supernaturally turned sideways, and we missed him. And the name of Jesus is powerful, right? The name of Jesus can set us free. So, you know, again, all theology out the door, and we look at some things. So the name of Jesus can deliver us in a time of need, and how powerful the name of Jesus is. We look here at John 16:23. And it says, whatsoever you'll ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Basically, up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, let me just say this. While Jesus was walking the earth, nobody prayed to Jesus in the name of Jesus, did they? They didn't. Because he's right there with them. But he said, hey, there's going to be coming a day when you're going to pray in my name. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. The name of Jesus is our access to God the Father. Right? And why are you saying, well, why are we talking about this right now? Because here's the thing. The name of Jesus, and Jesus said, I am the way, right? So that means he's the gateway to God the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, right? There in John. Well, when we look at that, we see there's all kinds of people, you know. Again, like 9/11 happened and all these disasters. Well, we just need thoughts and prayers. To who? What kind of prayer? Who are we going to pray to? Right? Jesus says right here, you pray to God the Father in my name, and he's going to give it to you. You notice how Jesus isn't the one giving it to us? It's God the Father giving it to us in the name of Jesus, right? So God is our source. Jesus is the gateway to get to those things, right? Jesus provided healing for us. Jesus provided those things, but it's given to us from the Father in the name of Jesus. So we see that the name of Jesus is so powerful that when we do pray, we use his name. That's why, another reason why I believe that sometimes our faith isn't working. And it doesn't mean because we don't have faith or we don't love God or anything else. It's just because we're doing things out of ignorance. And we're going, oh God, help me. God, help me. Oh God, help me. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We need to use Jesus' name, right? In the name of Jesus.
Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 17, and it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe." Right? Guys, these signs are not just for the early church, they're for today. All believers can cast out devils in what? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power and authority today, and that name belongs to us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to wrap things up. I don't know if we're going to get here through this one. We might. The fifth element is a failure to act upon the word. Just not doing it. Just not doing the word is another enemy to our faith. Just not doing it. So recap here while you're turning there. Again, the first one is failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. We've got to understand that we are a new creature in Christ. Number two, failure to understand our place in Christ, who we are. The third enemy, again, is to fail to understand righteousness, our position with Him. We are not beggars anymore. We are now sons and daughters. We're positioned where we go to Him. We have authority. That's why it's so important to memorize, or at least to, you know, meditate on Ephesians, the first chapter, 16 through the rest of the chapter there, and also Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through the rest of the chapter also. Why? Because it gets our thinking in line with what we have. Have you got a computer at home? Or you got one of these smartphones? Do you know what? There's just stuff in here I have no clue what to do with. You know? Adrian will come over here. Well, here's how you do Facebook stuff. Here, you got to do this. You got to do this. I'm like, okay, great. Right? All these people, oh, did you Twitter? Are you on this? Are you on, you know, Instagram? Don't care, right? I mean, it's great. But when we begin to understand and meditate on those things like Ephesians, we call the Ephesians prayers, those are keys that are going to unlock some things into this word and in the spirit realm that we don't have a clue about, right? Just like your computer, it probably has endless possibilities of things to do, and concepts and things that I will never understand how to do, right? Doesn't mean I don't have the time, and I really don't have, you know, a lot of the desire to do it, right? But that computer, there's so much stuff in that computer that you have no idea about, and the same thing in the Word. But those Ephesian prayers and the Spirit can unlock things and give you revelation on things you do need at the time, right? That's why it's so important to pray the Ephesians prayers. Let's just go there really quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Man, I'm preaching really good today, guys. I'm telling you right now, and y'all need to wake up. We need to sound like a Pentecostal church. How about that? There you go. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians, the first chapter. Y'all forgive me. I'm reading out of King Jimmy this morning, but you'll get the point. You go back in and read it into one of your other translations. I'm still wanting to come out with a redneck version. I still want to come out with the redneck translation. But anyway, verse 16, "Don't cease not to give thanks for making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? Give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him." Guys, we need a revelation and an understanding of Him. Verse 18, "That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." That's my prayer. And my prayer for you today is that we are enlightened, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, right? Which is the riches and the glorious inheritance in the saints. There's an inheritance that we have. And the more we understand understand this, and the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, and we pray this. You know, Brother Hagin said, I was praying this, you know, for 6 months. After 6 months, I thought, what have been preaching? I've been out in the dark, you know, I've been out in the rain. Verse 21, we'll just skip down to there. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, but has put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is you and me, you and I. The fullness of him that fills all in all. Did you know that we are the fullness of Jesus Christ? I just don't feel worthy. No, you're the fullness of Jesus Christ, right? Can I just tell you something? Heaven is not really complete without you there. That's why Paul says, the body said, hand, I don't need you. Foot, I don't need you. We're all vital. And again, it's that lie from the devil, always trying to put daylight between us and Jesus the whole time, right? There is no daylight. Chapter 3, and we'll close here in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. This is very powerful also. Just turn the page there. That he would grant you, talking about Jesus, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. How many want to be strengthened by your spirit in the inner man today? Man, I do. You know, when sickness or disease tries to come upon me, no, you don't. When poverty tries to come or lack, no, you don't. Those thoughts of insecurity or fear, no, you don't. I mean, if Daniel can sleep with lions all night long, it's going to be okay, right? He's going to make it all right. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. This is very powerful. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Guys, we got to have a revelation of how much Jesus loves us. You know, a little song. Jesus loves me. And we just take it so flippantly and when we were little. But the revelation of the love of God, you know, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians that you just have a revelation of the love of God. Just to understand, have a revelation. And what follows that? Verse 19 or verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. The love of God, let me just say this, faith worketh by love. Any car guys in here or anything, you know that if you don't put oil in an engine, it's going to fry before long, right? Or if you don't have a radiator hooked up to it, you're going to burn your engine and your transmission because you got lines coming off of it, right? The same thing here. We think about love is the lubricant for faith. Without love, our faith won't work. But we see here in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Why are we saying all this? Well, number one, here it comes to the bottom line, is this. God's trying to get things through us and to us. Or we should probably say to us and through us. How many of you know that there are people out in the world that need the power that works in us? Right? They need the power that works in us. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's always this big, you know,
this big, you know, very, you know, extreme thing that's happened. You know, I've just talked to somebody and touched them on the arm before, and it's like they've been changed, right? And it's not even something that I do or that I'm even aware of. But if we're aware of the God kind of power, that Zoe kind of love that's working on the inside of us, it's going to change people. So that's just free. No extra charge for that Ephesians little thing there. Amen. So number five, again, the fifth enemy is failure to act upon the word. Proverbs 3:5, we were talking about the earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. This is difficult for this time period. Lean, trust in the Lord always with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. You know, Matthew 8:17, the scripture says, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. With His own self bare our sins in His own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. There are things I don't understand, but if we lean to Him and lean on trust in Him, lean on His understanding, things are gonna go well for us. Moving along here, number six, we'll skip to this. Number six, failure to hold fast to our confession of faith. Watch your mouth. Watch your tongue. Why is this so important? Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. What with the mouth, everybody say mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's very important. We can't even be born again without speaking something. Right? It's a heart issue, and then we have to speak or release some things out. We've all read this before too, but Mark 11:23-24, truly I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe those things which you say, it shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, when you pray. You got to believe when you're praying, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You know? And it's kind of like the woman who touched Jesus' garment. What did she say? If I'll just touch His garment, then I'll be healed. I mean, your mind is always going to follow your tongue all the time. Your mind is always going to follow your tongue, you know? You know, for example, if I talk about a big juicy steak right now, you know, my mind is, you know, or lunch or something like that, right? Or these Scotch roux or something like that. Your mind is going to go to what you're talking about, the food. What if the woman would have said, well, it probably isn't going to work. Well, then she wouldn't have been in the Bible, right? We wouldn't have been talking about her. But she said, if I touch the hem of His garment, then I'll be healed. What we say is very, 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 very important. And let me just say this too. Some people, they put, you know, they say, well, I've been saying those things. Is it faith-filled words though? Because Mark 11:24 says, you believe when you pray. There's got to be faith involved in when you say something. Mark 5:25-34, we're going to read, and she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith, or your faith, has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague, right? So again, faith is very important because the world, we just read there last week,
John 14, 15, and 16. We read through some of those last week that we need faith. We need faith in Jesus. And then finally, 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you're also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we're to fight the good fight of faith. How do we fight the good fight of faith? Keep our thinking. It all starts with our thinking. The devil's going to attack your thinking, you know? You know, it's so sad because I just remember Adrian talking about wanting to pray for certain people, you know? And, you know, one lady that you know, her kids go to school with ours, and she was having some issues, and Adrian was wanting to pray, and she wouldn't do it. Well, why? Because it's their thinking. Fear, you know? Some people just have fear. What's going to happen? Well, maybe you get free from it. Hey, that would be awful, wouldn't it? Gee, wouldn't that just be terrible? What will people say? What will people think? If I pray for them here, if I get prayed for now, draw attention to me, or, you know, what if they speak in tongues or they do something crazy like that? It's getting your thinking, right? Again, it's just sad how many people in denominations or in the world won't. I said it before, and I think I said it Friday night, but sometimes I'll have better results praying for people who are of the world, complete heathens. I don't know how many people I've walked into, you know, numerous people we prayed, or I've walked in hospitals and prayed for people, and they're on their deathbed, and they just walk out 3 days later, and it's like the doctors are just scratching their head, like, what in the world? Complete heathens, you know? Smoking cigarettes. I mean, just, you know, abusing their bodies and everything else too. And God just has mercy on them. Love on them. We don't condemn people. But it all comes back to getting refocused. Amen? Don't let these hindrances get you. Father, we just come before you. I thank you for these precious people, Lord. I just speak Holy Ghost and fire over all of us today, Lord. There's a new hunger in each person this morning. A new hunger for prayer. A new hunger for the things of you, Lord. A new hunger for the things of the Holy Spirit. A new hunger for the Word, where we are just getting in this Word. We're so hungry for it. We're addicted to reading the Word. We're addicted to speaking with you, Lord. Praise God. Even just this morning, you know, I was getting around, just fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Nothing like meditating on His Word. Just last night, just sitting there meditating on His Word. Just meditating on His Word. Just fellowshipping with Him. This isn't just a religion. This isn't a denomination. It's about Him. God, how can you invade my life to help change other people? Hunger. You know, this morning, if you are not born again, you don't have any idea what I'm even talking about. Or if you, I just remember sitting in services when I first came back to the Lord and just thinking, I have no idea what He's even talking about. But you know, I stuck with it long enough and that it started sticking to me. The same with this. If you're not born again, or you've never received the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, nobody look around. I want you to raise your hand this morning. We want to pray with you afterwards, all right? You got to have it. You got to have this. The other thing is, if you need prayer for anything, we want to pray with you. But I challenge everybody here, be on guard for these pitfalls, these enemies that are going to come and try to rob your faith. We need faith in these last days. Faith to be a strong person. You got to have faith to continue to walk with God. You got to have faith, you know, not just to get stuff and you know, oh, believe for this car and this house and this and this. And that's fine. You know, we definitely thank God for that. But I'm talking about having faith to know that God lives in me. He loves me. He wants me healthy. There is no daylight between me and Jesus. We're one. Having that kind of faith brings you so much peace and joy in life that just, I mean, stuff doesn't matter.
It's just all about him. Amen. Praise God. Well, so it sounds like ladies are going to help move, and the guys were going to do the blankets, right? Was that the deal? I'm sorry, did I get that backwards? I'm sorry. Anyway, but Friday night, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have to, it's going to be fun helping move and to be a blessing to them. So anyway, praise God. You guys have a great week.